Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Bowerly and Bellavia, News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome to the show. So maybe this has happened to you or somebody you know, somebody you care about, but my daughter was out in Seattle last week visiting friends. Coming back, she got stuck in Chicago. A certain airline and her are not on very good terms right now. But the long and the short of it is that she had her cell phone and her iPad stolen. So using the Find My Phone app, she has been watching her cell phone, at least, traipse through the streets of Chicago, leading me to want to charter a jet with five huge men in it to go to Chicago and get the phone back live on the radio. I wonder if we could get, like, Prior Aviation to donate a jet. Could we get, like, five really big, nasty ex-cons to go on the flight, to go into Chicago to recover the cell phone, just to put it on a GoPro camera? I would live for that. I can have fantasies, can't I?
Well, again, though, it's just you forget how attached some people are to their stuff.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
well, I mean, you know, there's certain professional considerations about her phone in particular. And fortunately, she's got as many security devices on it as possible. And apparently they haven't been able to jailbreak it and they haven't swapped out anything because she's still able to track it. But what you've had stolen and did you ever get it back? And this is Barbara in Buffalo. Barbara's husband awakened one morning to a window in the home being open. Originally, Barbara's husband thought that Barbara had been doing some late night baking. Barbara comes downstairs. The daughter comes downstairs. The women of the household realize their purses are missing. And then lo and behold, the car is missing from the driveway. And Barbara continued the story from there. What? And your dogs, by the way, disappointingly, your dogs didn't react at all.
They're useless. So anyway, they also took our Bose, which was a really nice stereo system.
Oh, your Bose, B-O-S-E.
Yeah, my husband thought I said hose. He's like, why would anybody take your hose?
I thought you said boat originally, as if they'd made off with a boat.
A B-O-S-E.
Yeah, B-O-S-E, great sound system.
Yeah, so anyway, you know, the detectives came and took all the information, and they stole the car to do what you were talking about earlier, to do some kind of a criminal activity somewhere in the city. And a few days later, they called and said that they did find my car. So I went down to the impound lot, and they go, well, I said who I was, and they said, okay, well, we need to see your ID. I said, well, I don't have my ID. I just got robbed. They go, well, we can't release the car without your ID. So we had a little circle we were going around with. And finally, one of the guys said, okay, that's okay. I'll vouch for her. And then they took me out to where my car was. And they go, well, we just got to let you know they left it in a little bit of a mess. And I looked at it. I go, that's how it was when they took it. So.
Oh!
Barb's Oops. Got jokes.
Barb, man. So, but it was the guitar. Was the guitar? Was the car at least? You know, it was drivable and it wasn't ripped beyond shreds. It did not look like the Mercedes in The Hangover after Tyson's tiger ripped it apart.
Oh no, they didn't do anything to the car. And the purses. Everybody in our neighborhood was looking for our stuff because some of the kids found the purses. They threw. They took a couple dollars I might have had inside the purses and just threw the purses in the bushes. And I'm thinking, well, the purse was probably worth more than the money that they took. But
yeah. Yeah. Oh, these scumbags in Chicago also lifted 150 cash out of her wallet, but somehow left the credit cards behind.
Yeah. Yeah. But my license was in there and credit cards.
Yep. Well, I'm glad to hear that you got, at least got your car back.
Yes.
But that sense of being violated as you sleep, who needs that?
And the other thing about it was the neighborhood we were living in at the time really had a well connected neighborhood watch group. So there was a man and a woman that had been doing these thieveries in the area, and they actually went into some lady's house, and she caught him red-handed. So they caught the two. Red-handed.
Was she able to just keep him there until the cops got there without being at gunpoint?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, well, they were like a miserable pair, I guess.
She's lucky she survived.
Yeah.
All right, because, burglars don't like being surprised and sometimes don't act in ways that are responsible. I know that it's hard to believe there could be irresponsible criminals, but thank God she survived to tell the tale and put an end to their Bonnie and Clyde-like wave of terror in the neighborhood.
That's right.
All right, my dear. You're going to get on to some other folks. Thank you very much for the call.
Bonnie and Clyde terror?
Bonnie and Clyde wave of terror, yes.
You might think that might be a little overstated.
I think it's understated. Okay. Going from house to house, ripping off people. It could be a bit of hyperbole, but I live on hyperbole. Let's get back to the calls on WBEN. Here's Steve in Eden. Steve, you ever had anything ripped off, and did you recover it?
No, I left an iPad on a flight 2 years ago and flying Delta. And I realized that just like I'd gone to the other, I was at one gate and they moved me to another gate. And when I was at the other gate for the flight I was supposed to take took off, I realized I'd left it there. And they said, well, by the time you get back over there, the flight will have taken off. We can't hold the flight for you to look. But don't worry. We have a service that will take all the information down about your computer, and they will email you twice a week for a month to let you know what they're doing. So I said, okay, sounds all right. Somebody probably found it. And what they do is they email you twice a week one way. There's no way you can communicate with them. The only thing they say is, we are diligently looking. Don't worry. We're trying hard. So that you get eight of those emails over a month, then they stop. So even if they find it or whatever, they're not going to communicate with you anymore to let you know they found it.
So what's the point of the service? It seems like a big jerk around, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, get this. They told me they own two outlet stores in Alabama, and they sell all the stuff that is found at these stores. So it kind of seems like there's not a big incentive.
So are you saying that the TSA contracts with this company for lost and found stuff?
Yes, and it may not be only Delta. It might be others too, but they have two stores and they sell all the stuff, if it's not claimed at outlet stores. And the guy said, I think they're all in Alabama. Maybe they have a special law.
Well, somewhere there's an investigative report ready to be done on that company, because as you had pointed out, what would be the point of returning property to its rightful owner if you can get money selling it secondhand at some outlet store in Alabama?
It was a joke. And, you know, you live and learn. And, well, you don't, if you want to take a nap, you put your computer back in your bag.
Oh, yeah. I mean, unfortunately, in my daughter's case, she did everything the way you are supposed to do it, but unfortunately was sound asleep. But at least it was a crime against, it was a property crime. It wasn't a crime against a person, however inconveniencing it may have been, and however frustrating it is to watch the phone walk the streets of Chicago.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate the call. Have you ever had anything ripped off, especially a cell phone or an iPad? Did you ever track it and figure out who stole it and then actually have it recovered? Anybody have one of those stories? We've already had one or two of those stories so far today. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And there's other stuff that is going on as well. Whenever we start off a show, we say, hey, there's a lot of stuff that we'd like to get into on any given day. Before we get into the vaping thing, David, should we talk about what happened in Saudi Arabia? I mean, it might it's a half a world away, but it still is really, really important what happened in Saudi Arabia over the weekend.
Yeah, so you're basically looking at 5% of the global oil that's produced every day is wiped out. And it happens to be 50% of Saudi Arabia's total ability to what's the process when you take crude oil?
Refine.
Thank you. The refining of that oil. So it's a collection point. It's a refinery as well, and it's about half of of their production. And the crazy part is that it was done with some really low tech technology. Now the Houthis. This is the war in Yemen. Saudi is trying to hold up a government. The Iranians and Revolutionary Guard and Quds forces are backing the Houthis, right? So anything they do, you can basically say the Iranians are behind it, right? It'd be like Hezbollah. They used these drones, and they were they overwhelmed the radar systems. They weren't able to pick them up, like incoming whatever. Now, there's a claim out there.
There's one incoming outside our window, by the way.
That's right, the leaf blower. There is a, as we speak, there is a report that's out that the Iranians used a cruise missile. Okay, if that turns out to be the case, that is as egregious as Saddam Hussein invading Kuwait, because you intentionally went after the economy of another nation. That's more than that's an act of war.
And how do we prove one way or another whether the Iranians used a cruise missile?
Well, that's too easy to prove. But what I'm trying to say, though, is that we don't have confirmation of that. Once the Pentagon confirms that, you've got to strike Iran. You've got to push back.
When you say the U.S. or the Saudis?
No, the United States, absolutely. This is the obviously the sanctions are working. They're becoming, but they're kidnapping crews of international water. They're taking barges of oil. By the way, the one thing this benefits is our economy, because we're now putting out so much, we're putting out so much energy that we're not dependent on these other countries anymore.
Well, stand by, because we got to talk about this and take some telephone calls on that and a whole bunch of other stuff as well on News Radio 930 WBEN. Bowerly and Bellavia. So one of the things we're alluding to here is the attack on Saudi oil production over the weekend by forces who are overseen, if you will, by their Iranian overlords. And they did it in a low-tech way using drones. And there are reports, unconfirmed reports, that Iran or its surrogates may have used a cruise missile now, against targets in Saudi.
Yeah, let me be clear. There's no way the Houthis did this. This is 100% the Iranian government. They will claim responsibility, like ISIS and Al-Qaeda claim responsibility for other actions that really they had nothing to do with. But Iran is behind this, and the U.S. Senior U.S. official has told ABC News that it is, in fact, confirmed that a cruise missile hit that refinery. There's no way the Houthis have the technology to do that.
So if a cruise missile hit the refinery, that means Iran attacked Saudi Arabia.
Sophisticated, premeditated, going after the economy of a neighbor. It's an act of war. The sanctions that are there have to be clamped down. They've already talked about putting up their uranium and everything else they were working on towards a weapons system. Very impressive, since the treaty was only ripped up 60 days ago. I mean, that's at least work that took 12 months to do, so they were violating the terms of the Iran nuke deal anyway, right? So these guys are just putting their thumb up to the world, not making Israel safe, not making Iraq safe, not making Afghanistan safe. It is an absolute, they have to be confronted.
So what is the United States to do?
Well, it's got to be a way to cripple their ability. You got to hit the camps. This is going to make people upset, but it means involvement in Yemen. And, air campaign, but you've got to take these camps out. You've got to take these Iranian Revolutionary Guard training camps out, where they're using a lot of these soldiers, and they're using them in Lebanon, in Syria, in Iraq, everywhere else. Those camps have to be taken out.
Now let's get back to some calls on the did you have anything ripped off front and did you get it back? And also, should the United States get involved in Yemen and what's going on there in light of what happened over the weekend between Iran, its allies, and Saudi Arabia? 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN.
And just for the record, I'm saying that the Yemen is the soft point between invading Iran, which I don't believe the American people want. I don't think Donald Trump wants. And in fact, the reason why John Bolton is no longer his NSA is because John Bolton was basically telling him every day we need to invade Iran, right? So Trump obviously doesn't want to do that. He's not a typical Republican. He's not a typical conservative Republican. He sounds more like the Democrats when they talk about foreign adventure and other wars. But there has to be, just like there had to be a response with Syria, when they were gassing their own people, Obama did nothing, Trump did something. There has to be a message sent that we're not going to be pushed around, especially in the Gulf right now. It's just a matter of time before they screw up and our sailors get hurt because of their shenanigans. I mean, we're showing incredible discipline not to light those Iranians up every single day. And that Navy is showing incredible discipline.
Right. We need to break on News Radio 930 WBEN. When we come back, we will get to your telephone calls right here in Bowerly and Bellavia. 25 minutes after 4, you're hearing News Radio 930 WBEN. And obviously, we've got a lot on our plates today, just like you've got a lot on your plate. Rick Ocasek, Rick Ocasek, the Cars. They were it, man. They were it back in the day, and Rick died at 75 years of...
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Age found dead in his townhouse in New York City. And last week it was Eddie Money. Over the weekend it was Rick Ocasek, Rick Ocasek from the Cars. And if they come in threes, you got to wonder. What are you laughing about there, Phil?
I mean, Dog the Bounty Hunter is now in the hospital with a heart attack. So
Dog the Bounty Hunter had a heart attack?
Possible heart attack, yeah.
His wife just died.
No, he'll be fine.
I don't think anything can kill him. All right, so have you had something ripped off that you have actually had recovered, or maybe you didn't recover it after all? And in light of what happened over the weekend in Saudi Arabia with the apparent Iranian attack on Saudi Arabia, what should the United States do? We'll get some more calls on the ripoff stuff, and we've got other things we're going to get into as well. This is a multi-pronged program today. Here is Patty in Hamburg. Patty, you're on WBEN.
Well, first I want to say thanks to you guys. I listen to you every day. But I wanted to tell you my story, and I'll make it as quick as I can. It's kind of complicated. And I want to say to all the listeners, if you need help from the police and the police don't help you, do it yourself. I had a car stolen, and I actually had broken down, and I was towed to a garage. And I called 3 days later to find out if my car was ready, and they told me that my car was already picked up. And I had asked, what do you mean? No one here picked my car up. I haven't picked up my vehicle. And they told me that my car was impounded because I hadn't made payments on it. So I freaked out and I went to the garage and they showed me repo papers. So I went to the police and explained to the police that I wasn't behind on any of my payments. My big mistake was going to one of these. I was young. I was real young. And I went to one of these buy here, pay here dealers. Well, come to find out, the guy was a shady character who had closed down. The police told me that I was lucky that I even had a title to my car, And they told me that all I could do was go to the police station, file a police report, and they could put it on what they call their hot sheet. And I said, well, how do I get my car back? And they said, well, we don't have the manpower to go searching for your car. And the guy skipped town. He's in Florida.
But if it was impounded, was the car's location really ever in question?
Well, what happened was he had a GPS in my car, and I didn't know it. So this crook knew where my car was sitting, so he went and impounded it. He had fake impound papers made up. And it was all over the news. It was on news.
What kind of car was it?
It was a Ford, a Chevy Blazer.
I mean, that's a lot to go through for a Chevy Blazer. But anyway, go ahead.
I was young, and I wanted my car back, and I had made all my payments on it to date. So I figured I'm not going to lose it. So what I wound up doing was I did investigative things on my own, and I found out from the title on my car who funded him for the car. I called them, and they said that they stopped all their funding, and they had repoed all the cars off of his lot, and all the cars that were on his lot were set up to go for auction in 2 weeks. And so I had to call and find out where they were being auctioned off, and I actually went to the auction house in Akron and just stopped my car from being auctioned off.
Wow.
I got there just in time, and it was at that point that I was able to call the state police, and then they finally showed up and said, hey, this is legitimate. You can't auction off that car. So I got my car back, and my car was in better condition than when they took it.
So there's that. All right, well, thank you very much for the call. Glad you got your stuff back. On News Radio 930 WBEN. I was going to say I'd call my daughter and ask where her phone is right now, but I have no way to reach my daughter because her phone got stolen. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Here's Joe in beautiful Youngstown, New York. Joe, I didn't think there was any crime in Youngstown. You're on WBEN.
This wasn't in Youngstown time. Excuse my voice. I had throat surgery. When I was living in Rochester, and for some unknown reason, I woke up about 2 in the morning on a January night, looked out the window, and I see the interior light of my car on. So I told my wife, call 911. I knew what was going to happen and how I was going to handle it. I'm a former Air Force MP, and I took my legally owned firearm and my billy club. Walked out to the car, opened the door. The individual looked shocked, of course. I grabbed him by the throat. He lunged at me with a screwdriver, and I broke his collarbone, right collarbone, with my nightstick. Then I dragged him off into the entrance to the apartment, because it was cold out, obviously, and waited till the police got there. They said I could keep the radio because it was like halfway out of the car.
Of course, in 2019, you probably would have been arrested for the firearm, legally owned or not. Probably would have been arrested for illegal use of force. Probably been sued for false arrest. I'm just thinking about 2019, how things would shake out.
Oh, this is back in 84.
Now, about the look on the thief's face, when he knew that he was busted, I would pay to see a picture of that look.
To look at his face after his collarbone shattered.
Yeah, it doesn't take much force to break a collarbone.
Yeah.
And with a baton, especially.
A nightstick.
I can well imagine. Probably turned every color of the rainbow before it got through healing on him. So in this case, you were lucky. You were able to prevent something from being stolen. And obviously in 1984, we didn't have anything like civilian GPS like we've got it now.
Right, right. I didn't, like I said, I don't, for why I woke up 2 o'clock in the morning, I don't know why, but I just glanced out the window and I saw what was going on. And so I knew how I was going to handle it. It was going to end one way or the other. He was going to escape before I got out of the apartment, or I was going to apprehend him right there. So,
well, appreciate it. Joe, you seem to have that voice that is just like, you get to that age. That's the voice I want to have all the time. I know you're going through post-surgery. You got a little bit of a rasp, but it's a cool rasp.
It sounds tough. It makes him sound pretty badass.
It sounds like you should be holding, like, you know, come over at 11. We'll discuss it over pasta.
No, it's that in addition to the surgery, the CPAP machine dries my vocal cords.
You get one with the humidifier on it.
It doesn't work, Tom.
You don't like it? Yeah, I've got a humidifier on mine, not that I use it.
Everyone has a CPAP.
Everybody.
It's unreal.
Got to sleep with a CPAP or else bad things happen. Thanks very much, Joe. Appreciate the call on WBEN. But I'm just thinking about how things would have ended up today, especially with lunging at him with the screwdriver. That probably would have been justifiable deadly physical force.
Absolutely.
You know? Somebody lunges
back
at,
then, today,
oh,
in
yeah.
the future, hopefully.
Well, today there probably would have been a Twitter campaign against him had he used deadly physical force. Probably would have been public enemy number one. Probably would have been called every name in the book, right, wrong, or indifferent.
Like Brett Kavanaugh.
Well, exactly. Then do we get to say penis now?
Yes.
Okay. New York Times got into some trouble over the weekend with something they tweeted out.
They said it was harmless fun.
Yes, harmless fun, and use the word penis. And then they retracted, and then didn't they retract the retraction?
Well, now they retracted the story.
Yeah.
Because the person has no memory of the story and doesn't want to go on record. And so it's like, how did you get a story to begin with?
Well, before we get back to Justice Kavanaugh's penis, let's just get more into Saudi Arabia, if we can.
Yes.
Just for just one moment. Obviously, I mean, the Saudis and the Iranians, they have got to be eyeing one another. What do you think the chances are for a war between those two countries in the Middle East?
Well,
they don't like each other.
I would make the argument that they have been at war. Since 2002, not only with Saudi, but with the United States and with Israel. If it weren't for Iranian revolutionary forces in Iraq, we would not have over 500 casualties. The Iraq war would have been a 500 casualty war if the Iranians didn't get involved. Their technology, their passive IED technology, those energy-forming IEDs that just absolutely wreaked havoc from 2006 to 2008, those IEDs were maiming and killing and blinding American soldiers. Then you look at what they've been doing in Yemen. That's Saudi Arabia openly funding the government there. And what do these, you know, what are the Iranians getting for their civil war? I mean, the atrocities that are occurring in Yemen they're not on the headlines, but it's pretty atrocious how many people are dying over there.
So if, I guess I have to ask at this point, what do you see, David, as the United States' role in Yemen? I mean, I'm sure the United States is involved in black ops. I'm sure the United States is involved in...
Yeah, no, there are men on the ground over there, too. I'm sure they're everywhere. But the key here, though, is that this has to be met with a kinetic response. Yeah, I mean, what this is going to do for our money at the pump, this affects the entire world. 5% of that supply is now gone, which means that, you know, now the demand is higher. So you're going to have prices that are going to go up. It affects the global market. You cannot allow an outlier country like Iran to affect global prices, to attack other countries, to start civil wars, to literally take the cash they got from the American government and to reinvest it in a global terror. It's unacceptable. And no president has stood up to Iran, you know, since 1979.
But what can Donald Trump possibly do other than sanctions?
It's not sanctions. It's beyond sanctions. This has to be met with a kinetic response.
And
absolutely.
when you say kinetic, you mean we're going to blow some stuff up.
We're going to blow some stuff up. Absolutely. There's no way around it. Or if not, what you're doing is you're setting everything so high that if the Navy is provoked, the Navy has the ability to respond. And that is going to be a kinetic response. You cannot take vessels that are smaller and more agile and cause the shenanigans that they're causing with our carrier groups. There's only so far you're going to push the Navy, and they're going to respond. And that's going to be an international incident.
So obviously, I want to pick up on that on the other side on News Radio 930 WBEN. And by the way, the word is that Rick Ocasek of the Cars died of heart disease, 75 years old. Exactly what kind of heart disease, we don't know. You know, was it total occlusion of arteries? Don't know. But in any event, he is obviously no longer with us. So if the United States launches strikes, David, against Iranian targets, do you go after targets that are in Iran? Do you go after Iran surrogates in Yemen? I mean, what are some of the options that we actually have in terms of responding to the aggression launched by Iran against Saudi Arabia?
I'm not, I'm not for war here. I'm not, saber rattling. I'm saying that the President of the United States has very few choices here. The sanctions are working. You could live in a world where the sanctions work and you get Iran to, come to the negotiating table and agree to stop doing these activities in, with their neighbors. The problem is that the more the sanctions work, the more desperate Iran becomes. And the answer is not to reward this behavior with more money, because that ends up going to Israel and Iraq and Afghanistan. It's killing our men and women. So what can you do? They've blown up tankers. They've kidnapped people. They still have other folks, Europeans, in prisons. What are you going to do? At this point, an attack on a neighboring country. Now, is it too much to go into Iran? Does that cause too much problems? Perhaps you see an option the president might take, which is to take satellites of Iranian aggression. Hezbollah, allow Israel to go into Syria and Lebanon. We help out in Yemen. We hit satellite camps in Iraq that we know right now are being sponsored by Quds forces of Iran and as well as Afghanistan.
How's that going to look if Israel gets involved in this? Is that a plus or is that a minus for the United States?
Saudi Arabia has been very agnostic about anyone that hates Iran. Anyone that wants to fight Iran is able to do it because they see Iran as an existential threat. So you won't find in the old days during the, King Fahd and those folks, no one wanted to. If it was Israel would have defended itself during the Gulf War, Saudi would have kicked us out. That's essentially why Osama bin Laden waged the caliphate, because he thought that we were disrespectful by being friends with Israel, being in Saudi and during the war.
And David, how soon after the Iranian and its allies attack, how soon after what happened over the weekend with the drone attack on the Saudi oil facilities, does an American response have to come in order to get the message across that we're not going to be effed with anymore?
Well, it really depends on what the advice the president's getting. If it's for to go to the UN, if it's to go to Congress, he has enough presidential authority right now to at least do a retaliatory strike. Not obviously ground war, not anything longer than 60 days, I believe.
Cruise missiles?
Cruise missiles might be effective, but again, it really depends on who were the people that did this attack. Were they truly located in Yemen? Those rebel camps would be an attack on Iran because they've invested so much money on it. You could be Samson, or I should say King Solomon, if you decided to say, look, I'm going to hit Iran kinetically, but I'm going to hit their satellite camps over here. They're the ones that caused the attack. No more nonsense. But again, Iran's economy is going into terrorism, and you cannot allow that to maintain. I mean, we just killed bin Laden's kid in Afghanistan and the Pakistani region of Wajiristan. Why is it that you think that who is going to supply those guys who are fighting our troops? It's going to be Iran, as it always has been for 15 years.
When would you expect, just based on your experiences, any inkling, David, on when you would expect some kind of a military response to the Iranian aggression?
This is way out of my pay grade. I have no idea what the machinations that go on to get something like that going. I will say that if you look at just Syria as a, as an idea, when it was confirmed that gas went down in 10 days, we were launching. So, it's not a very fast thing. But at the same time, you want to make sure you have your facts lined up and you want to make sure that you're hitting targets legitimately.
How good is Iran's military? Could they do some damage?
No. No. The damage they're going to do is with their affiliates in the Iranian Revolutionary Guard when they blow themselves up or set car bombs up in civilian areas. But their military, the reason why they do that is because they don't have a military that's going to be able to do anything. It's the United States of America. You're not playing around with, you know, a tag football team here. I mean, we're gonna reach out and pound you into dust. But what happens? The trigger effects go all throughout the region, and now all these, you know, these Hezbollah guerrillas, they start attacking soft targets.
It is 4:57. You are hearing News Radio 930 WBEN. Still plenty to come. Do not go anywhere.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.